Thank you so very much for joining us again tonight for our Bible study and our time of ministry in the Word of God. God is so good. I trust that you are doing well and that you and your loved ones are keeping safe and enjoying the goodness of the Lord. I am really thankful to the Lord tonight for another opportunity like this to be able to come together around the Word of God and to press in to the things that the Holy Spirit has prepared for us. I hope you came in with your Bibles or whatever else you use, your devices and whatever it is that's for your convenience serves as your Bible. I hope you have them and something to write or type or take notes. I trust the Lord that we're going to move forward in our teachings tonight. Last week, we started discussing this theme that we titled The Divine Reality of Uncommon Wisdom. The Divine Reality of Uncommon Wisdom. And praise God for all of the help that the Lord granted us last week. And just the beginning, the foundational precepts that we discussed as we got into it. I am not going to be able to do too much of revising tonight. Yes, we'll maybe go over a few little things, but we have so much ground to cover and I want to be able to move along quickly. So I'm going to ask that if you were not with us last week and you are joining us tonight, that you would please, after tonight's service, take some time, go over last week's teaching. We have them on all of our media platforms and on our website. Please get them because the Word of God, the way to get the best out of it is to go line upon line, precept upon precept. It's like you're building a house. When you're building a house, you just don't jump to the roof and start constructing the roof. And you don't have a foundation. You don't have a building, no frame, no pillars, no cornerstones, nothing. You just start building the roof. That house is not going to last. You know that. So that's exactly how it is in spiritual things. We've got to get accustomed to going line upon line, precept upon precept, one building block upon another. And so it's very essential that we get caught up with the things that we have learned previously. I trust that the Holy Spirit will help us. Again, I thank you for joining us tonight. Let's share a word of prayer as we get going. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for bringing us together, Lord, from different places across the world, on different platforms. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us around your word. We're truly excited, Lord, to be able to come together and to dig in again into the word of life that you have made available to us. We thank you, Father, because even before we got here, you were already here. We know the Holy Spirit is here with us to teach us, to impart understanding and grace and life to us. So, Lord, cause illumination, Lord, to flow freely, revelation to flow freely, understanding. And God, grant me grace and clarity of thought, clarity of my words and my speech in the name of Jesus. Help me teach your word with boldness and accuracy. And Father, thank you that when it's all done tonight, you would have moved us further up, further along, closer to your eternal will and eternal purpose for us. For that, we give you the glory and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight and whatever platform you are joining us on. Thank you. What are we studying? Our theme is the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. Let's go back to our home scripture, our theme scripture, Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse 16, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and let's read that from the King James and then just just a brief mention of some of the other translations that we read last week, and then a little bit of revision before we get into new material today. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Praise God. We are not saying that tonight. We are saying, yes, Lord, we will do that. We will stand in the ways. We would ask, where is the good way? We will find that good way. We will walk in it, and we will find rest for our souls. Amen. And last week, we started to discuss this concept of uncommon wisdom. Remember, I shared with us that one of the things the Lord said to me is, there is your way, there is the world's way, and then there is the good way. And what is the good way? The good way is the way of godly wisdom. All of us, like multitudes, in the valley of decision that Joel talked about in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, constantly making decisions every day. And a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of believers assume, oh, you know, whatever decisions I make, God will just bless it and he will just make it work together for good. No. He's not obligated to bless our decisions. The Lord God is a God of covenant. And there are covenant ways. There are covenant paths. That's why that scripture says, ask for the ancient paths. There's a translation that says that. Ask for the old ways. It's not talking about old in the sense that they're outdated, that he wants us to be just out of fashion and outdated. No. But he's referring to the integrity of the covenant ways that our spiritual and godly ancestors walked in. The integrity of the covenant ways that Abraham walked in, that Isaac walked in, that Jacob walked in, that Joseph walked in, that the early church, our Lord Jesus Christ, walked in, that the apostles, the early apostles, the Peters and the Pauls and the Stephens and all of that, they walked in. The Bible says to find that way. To find that way. Because that is the sure way. That is the way that leads to life. We read a few scriptures last week. John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, Jesus called himself the good shepherd. He says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we read in Ephesians chapter 2, where the Bible says God has prepared, he created us for a good life, but he has prepared some paths that lead to that good life. So everybody is not going to live the good life. Everybody is not going to find God's best. Just because they are children of God, the way we find the best that God has prepared for us is to walk in the way of wisdom, the way of godly wisdom. All right, so I am skipping a lot of my preambles from last week, even some of the other translations that I had read from Jeremiah chapter 6. I think I'm going to go read a couple of those translations though, just again so we can build that foundation really good as we get going here. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16, because it talks about this crossroads. We're always at crossroads, trying to make a decision between there and here, trying to see, should we go here? Should we go there? Should we pick A or should we pick B? Should we invest in this or that? And all of the decisions we make eventually culminate in the destiny that we obtain in life. And I did say sometime last week, I said it's during the teaching last week, sometimes people come into a lot of complications in their lives. And, you know, life gets so unnecessarily complicated. Life, God really created life to be simple. And I learned a long time ago, if what you're doing is complicated, then you are missing God somewhere. For sure you're missing God. Because God created life to be simple. If what you're trying to do is so complicated and is so long and winding and is you're losing your peace and you're losing your joy and you're restless and you are anxious and you're just pulling your hair out to be able to move forward and get some things done that you really desire to get, then you haven't found God's way. Because God's way is always the way of rest. Notice there it says when you ask for the old paths and when you ask for the good way and when you walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. You will find peace. You will find the harmony that comes from walking with the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn a little bit more of some of those things tonight. You see, the way our lives are really designed, we're designed by the Lord to be lived. If we get it right, and none of us is ever going to be perfect on this earth, but that's why the Lord sends us teachings. That's why the Lord helps us to keep growing. Because the more understanding we have, the more knowledge we have, the more wisdom we have, the closer we can actually get to that good life that God has ordained for us. And the way to live that good life is to every single day of our lives, every single decision we make, to put on, learn how to put on that spirit of wisdom. Learn to become a man of wisdom, a woman of wisdom, someone who builds. If you want the house you build to last, there are a lot of people who are throwing a lot of energies and, oh my goodness, they're always doing stuff. They're going here, going there. My goodness, when you see them, whoa, you're like, whoa, they are really, really busy. Whoa. But you look at the things they build. They don't last. They never last. What is the use of expending all this energy and doing all this stuff, making all this noise, calling all this attention, and the whole world is coming to woo, 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 woo. But the thing never lasts. There's no continuity. And the reason that happens for a lot of people is there is no wisdom. They're just doing it. They're just going with the flow, going, going, going. Sometimes they're not even going with the flow. They're just going. There's no direction. You see, people keep doing things and undoing the things they did. Keep doing things, undoing the things they did. Spend hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars and millions of dollars going a direction. And then after they spend all that money, they have to come back and start all over again, spending fresh money, trying to do the same old things that they did before, because those things did not last. When really what the Lord wants us to do is have a life of stability. All right, let's go here. Let's read a few of these scriptures. I think I'm going way too fast now. But I think I'm also very conscious of the time. Let's read some of those translations. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, he said in the contemporary English version, CEV, the Lord said, my people, when you stood at the crossroads, I told you, follow the road your ancestors took and you will find peace. Look at that. Follow the road your ancestors, not your ungodly ancestors. My grandfather, grandmother, great, great, great grandparents. They were good people in their own way, but they did not walk in this covenant. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't walk intimately with Jesus. So the Lord is not telling me to do the things they did. The Lord isn't telling me to follow their example because they didn't know any better. Hallelujah. But he's telling me to walk, telling us to walk in the way of our spiritual covenant ancestors. Those who walked in the tried and tested covenant ways and those who lived the good life. look at the ESV. He says, "The Lord, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." Find it. Find it. Find it. Look at the message, says God's message yet again. Go stand at the crossroads and look around. Ask for directions to the old road, the tried and true road. You see, that's what we're talking about. Not the experimental road, not the things we're not trying to live a life by our lives, our precious lives, by like an experiment in a laboratory. No. Not by trial and error. I'll try this and see after 1 year. And if it doesn't do well, then I'll try that. You're gonna waste the precious time that God has given you. And after you've done all of that, try this and try that, then you're going to find out all of this investment, time, money, energy, passion, zeal, have all just been invested in a direction that God was never really interested in. You've heard, yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. You've probably heard the story of one of the great prophets in the Old Testament, Elijah. And the Bible says that while Elijah, you know, he was running from Jezebel, which in itself was a big problem. This anointed man of God who had just called down fire from heaven was running from Ahab's wife because of her threat. But to compound the situation, he started running and started running in the wrong direction. And he went in the direction for 40 days. Before he encountered the Lord, and the Lord said, "No, that's not where you are supposed to be. I want you to go back." And that man of God, after spending all his energy, he left his servant somewhere. Because many times, you know, when you're running in the wrong direction, you're usually, you know, you're making a lot of poor judgment decisions. And sometimes people don't realize that a lot of those decisions they make are actually building towards a future place that they will end up. A lot of people don't. And all these things affect our lives. They affect every area of our lives. They affect our health. They affect our soundness of mind. They affect our joy, our peace. They affect our resources, finances that are available to us. They affect even the blessings of life that God has made available to us, to our children, to our family, to other people around us. They affect all these things. I've shared before. This is a story very close to my heart, and I'm not going to share too much of the details of it because it was my late mother. She didn't know the Lord. She really accepted the Lord towards the end of her life, and I personally led her to the Lord. Praise God! I'm so thankful she's in heaven, and I'm going to see her again, and I know she is really enjoying life now because she didn't enjoy life here. She just lived a life of pain and torment. But I remember one of the things, a very, very crucial decision she made that ultimately affected her children, especially her younger son, was just, you know, she just got up and just, she was out of anger. She was upset what somebody had done, and she just changed her entire life. Because of something somebody had done to her. And in making that poor decision, that bad decision, actually affected the life of one of her children. And that young man didn't recover from that bad decision for almost 40 years of his life or more. He wasn't even born when those decisions were made. But he inherited the fruit of it 40 years after he was born. And a lot of believers just don't realize that the things, the steps they take ultimately affect their future. Everything matters. Everything matters. Everything. God didn't call us. We talked about that last week. He didn't call us to a life of regret. He didn't call us to a life of pain. He didn't call us to a life of sorrow and sadness. No. He called us to the good life. There's a good life, and there's a way that leads to the good life. It's the good way. It's the way of godly wisdom. My prayer for you and for me, as we continue to grow in this revelation and in this understanding, because none of us is perfect. All of us have made mistakes. All of us. But you know why the Lord is having us learn these things? So not just so we learn from our mistakes, no, but that we learn from the Word of God in such a way that those mistakes of our past will never be repeated. But not only that, but that God can actually elevate us and enable us to live the highest quality of life possible in our future. That's what this is about. Hallelujah. Look at what the NLT says. The NLT New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. He said, but you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Praise God. That's not what we are saying tonight. We're not replying that. We're saying, yes, Lord, we will look for the good way. We will walk therein and we will find rest for our souls. The Lord said, and I said this to you, to us last week. He said, there is your way. He said that to me. There is your way. There is the world's way. And then there is the good way. And the good way is the way of godly wisdom. The good way. There is the good way. Oh, saints, my prayer for you, for me tonight, is that we will find the good way. Oh, this is so important. This is so crucial to destiny. This is so crucial to the future we desire, to the good future that we crave for, that our hearts long for. Sometimes people make one turn, just one turn. They've lived a great life, great this and good this, and they make one wrong turn and can't turn back because they are too embarrassed to admit they made a wrong turn. And so they just keep going. They just keep going and finally end up with an average destiny. Nothing to write home about. You know where they started from. You know the graces of God that were available to them in their lives when they started on their journey. Everybody could see the glory of God upon their lives. But their wrong turn. And it wasn't just the wrong turn, because everybody makes a wrong turn at some point or the other. It was being so foolhardy, like those people, to say, okay, I made the wrong turn and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go back and find the good way. But they were not willing to do it. They were going to save face. You know how many people live their lives trying to save face? You know how many people live their lives trying to impress people? Trying to prove something? I pray that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. I pray that will not be you. I pray that will not be you. In fact, I speak over you tonight. There's an anointing in this place. In the name of Jesus, I declare over you, I cancel the negative consequences and negative effect of every wrong turn in your life. And in the name of Jesus, I pull you out of the foolhardiness that makes you continue to want to go in that direction. You are free from it in the name of Jesus. You are free from it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God doesn't necessarily approve or endorse everything we do and the ways in which we do them. That's why divine approval is so important. Seeking divine approval means we're looking for God's way. We're seeking God's way. You remember that all-powerful scripture in the New Testament, Matthew 6:33 in the King James, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you know how the Amplified Bible puts that scripture? I didn't prepare it, but I'm going to go read it because it came into my spirit. If you have it, you can open them. Matthew 6:33. I want to read to you how the Amplified Bible actually how it expresses that scripture, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. This is what the Amplified says. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. This is the way he describes God's righteousness, God's kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. So there is a way that God does his things. There is a way that God wants his things done. God will never give us instructions that we misunderstand. There is a way that God wants his things done. And the things that concern you and me, there is a way God wants us to do these things. There's a way he wants us to conduct our lives. There's a way he wants us to make decisions. There's a way he wants us to work in our relationships. There's a way he wants us to raise our children. There's a way he wants us to raise our families. There's a way he wants us to do our work in our career, in our offices. There's a way he wants us to do our ministry. There's a way he wants us to administer our finances. There's a way. God has a way for everything. The way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. So when the Lord said there is your way, talking to me, there is your way, there is the world's way, and then there is the good way, and the good way is the way of godly wisdom, well, that made me stop in my tracks. And that made me say, oh Lord, I commit every day of my life to searching for your way, to searching for your good way, the way of wisdom. I commit diligently to seek to be baptized in the spirit of wisdom. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. I know. It wasn't just the day I made that decision, but even years leading up to that, I know we keep growing in the wisdom of God. But making such a life-changing, dramatic decision actually even puts us in greater position to grow in the wisdom of God. And I know certainly, since I had that encounter with the Lord, I made that commitment, I've seen the fruit of wisdom in my own personal life. And you will too. I say you will too. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God is interested in the stability and peacefulness of your life. Let's go read. This is where we left off last week. Boy, I've spent so much time tonight just revisiting that foundation. But thank you, Holy Spirit. I want us to move on. Let's move on quickly. I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Make this confession of faith with me. I'm growing in the spirit of wisdom. I'm diligently committed to walking in the wisdom of God every day of my life. And because I do so, I'm finding rest for my soul. I'm living the good life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and strength of your salvation. Do you know God wants you to have a stable life? Do you know God is interested in the stability of your life? Look at what it says. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of you. Well, we took almost the first 4 months, four and a half months of this year learning about the knowledge of God, knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place was our theme from the beginning of the year. Well, now the Lord is having us add to knowledge wisdom. And he says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. Do you know God wants you to have a stable life? Do you know God wants you to have a consistently good life? Do you know God wants you to have a life of joy and peace and favor? Do you know God doesn't want your life just haphazard? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. No, God doesn't want you living that kind of life. He said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. I'm going to read a few things to you here from my notes. Hallelujah. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. If you are going to live a good life, if you are going to have stability in your life, if you are going to find rest for your soul, if you are going to prosper and succeed, you must engage wisdom and knowledge. And you must engage them at a high level. See, God doesn't want you. You have such great things happen for several months. And then bad things happen the next few months. And then you have to start again all over. Some, you know, your life is just in cycles. Just in cycles. You got to be delivered from that. That's a yoke of the enemy. Just a life in cycles. Just almost always trying to get there. Person just never making it. And just about when you think you got there, you got it, you lose it all again. You lose it all again. That is not the will of God for you. Hear me. Don't be upset. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of the Lord. If you have constant instability in your life, you are missing wisdom. You are missing the element, the power of godly wisdom. You've got to do something dramatic to change the narrative, then change the story and begin a new journey tonight in this season. You need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God to make sound decisions that help you make progress in life. So that your increase is actually increase. Your increase is not appearance of increase that is lost. And you have to try to get back again and again. That's not progress. Listen to these few things from my notes here. God is interested in the stability and peacefulness of your life. You know what? Would you mind? Let's read a couple of these versions that I have here. Let's read the Amplified. And let's read the Message. And the NLT. Let's from Isaiah 33 verse 6. And then I'm going to read those notes to you. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise tonight. We bless your holy name. Listen to the Amplified version of Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. He said, "And there shall be stability in your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and His." There shall be stability in your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. Listen to the Message. He said, "God keeps your days stable and secure." Oh, hallelujah. We receive that. God keeps your days stable and secure. Salvation, wisdom, and knowledge in surplus. Salvation, wisdom, and knowledge in surplus. And best of all, Zion's treasure, the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. God keeps your days stable and secure. Stable and secure. Listen to me, child of God. In every area of your life, God wants to bring you to a place of stability and to a place of security. And the way He's going to do it is through helping you engage in the spirit of wisdom. Every child of God, every believer will start out from little And even those who start out from much, it is really little compared to what God wants to give them. Every believer will start out from little. Every believer will start out from uncertainties. You just don't know where that next breakthrough is going to come from. You don't know all the details about how you are going to take care of that project. You just don't know what you have today. Can you reproduce it tomorrow? Every believer will start out that way. But as we continue to walk with the Lord and grow in the spirit of wisdom, the Lord wants to introduce an element of stability and security to our life supernaturally. And when we engage the wisdom of God, that stability and security actually gets established. It comes a time when every day you don't wake up needing a miracle. This has to be the case in your physical body, your physical life. It has to be the case in your spiritual life, your walk with the Lord, your ministry. It has to be the case in your finances. It has to be the case in the things that you are trying to accomplish in your life. You may start out with a lot of uncertainties, a lot of, you have it, but you may not necessarily have it the following week, the following day. You know, you may have to, you know, you believe for a miracle. God wants to bring you to a place where you don't need a miracle every day to survive. And the way he's going to do it is through exposing you to this divine reality of uncommon wisdom. The Lord doesn't want you all for the rest of your life always needing another breakthrough. Breakthroughs are not bad, but God doesn't want us living our entire lives needing them. I better say that again, because that's from the Holy Spirit. Breakthroughs are not bad. But God doesn't need us living our entire lives needing them. There's a shower of blessing. There's a shower of blessing. A measure of the goodness of God that has been made available to every one of his children. You know how we say there is a season for rain. There's a season for winter, for cold. There's a season for summer, for heat. There's a season for, because that's from the word of God, right? When he made that covenant with Noah, right? That's called stability. That we know at certain seasons, the rain is coming. Farmers know to prepare, sow their crops. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. Sometimes we need to believe for a breakthrough that this drought will be broken. But God doesn't want us needing a breakthrough from drought every day of our lives, every year of our lives. No, he wants us to, the way he created it, he wants us, help me, Holy Spirit. You see, I'm stuck here. It's not my intention, but the Lord has me here. Somebody needs to hear this. There's somebody hearing this who needs this word. God doesn't want you needing a miracle every day. Miracles are great. Miracles are awesome. But the mere description of it tells us we shouldn't need them every day. They come every once in a while. And glory to God. Thank you, God, for that miracle. Oh, thank you, Lord. But then we go right back to our life of stability and security, and everything is working, and everything is working up. Then something may come up where, oh, We need a breakthrough here. We need a miracle here. We stand on the word. We believe God. We stand on the word. Oh, glory to God. Faith goes to work. The word of God performs. We get a miracle. We get a breakthrough. Oh, hallelujah. We give thanks. We give God glory. Oh, hallelujah. We go right back to our stability and security and just live the good life. And just live the good life. Hallelujah. And the only way that happens is through engaging wisdom and knowledge. He said here, salvation, wisdom, and knowledge in surplus. Look at the NLT. In that day, he will be your sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Listen to these notes. God is interested in the stability and peacefulness of your life. A life of upheavals and unrest is not the will of God for any of his children. Please hear that again. Because there are so many Christians who don't know this. A life of upheavals and unrest is not the will of God for any of his children. You must engage the wisdom of God and dislodge from your life everything that is responsible for creating instability and turbulence. I gotta say that again. You must engage the wisdom of God and dislodge from your life everything that is responsible for creating instability and turbulence. Your health and your future well-being depend on it. Your health and your future success, future well-being, future prosperity depend on it. You must engage the wisdom of God and dislodge from your life everything that is responsible for creating instability and turbulence. It is not the will of God for his children to live that way. It is not the will of God. You must engage the wisdom of God and dislodge from your life. Now listen, you cannot always separate yourself from people. You cannot always separate yourself from people, but you can always separate yourself from the things that people do around you that cause you turbulence and instability. That's a word for somebody. You cannot always separate yourself from people. Amen. But you can always separate yourself from the things that people do around you that cause you turbulence and instability. The Lord did that for the church. The Lord did that for the church. Let's go and read the power of wisdom in the early church. Let's go and read Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. I'm going to read bits to you from the Amplified. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. I'm going to read that from the Amplified version. The Lord dislodged from the church the things that had created so much instability and turbulence in their season. They went through a season of just turbulence, of harassment. Somebody was being used by the enemy to terrorize their lives because they were the people of God. The Bible says there, you can see it in Acts chapter 8 verse 1. Hold that place in Acts chapter 9 verse 31. I'm going to come back there. You can see this in Acts chapter 8 verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Persecution, scattering, harassment. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, threatening them, harassing them, creating instability, turbulence. They couldn't worship happily, peacefully. There was no stability in their fellowship. They were living under torment, threat, fear. And suddenly God said, enough. God said, enough. That is the same way God is saying enough for somebody tonight. All the harassment, all the turbulence, all the instability, all the threatenings, all the persecutions, all the scattering, building and scattering, building and scattering. God says tonight, it is enough. God is going to enable you. He's opening your eyes tonight to help you see how to engage the wisdom of God and dislodge everything that is creating that instability around you. You may not always be able to separate yourself from people, but you can separate yourself from the things that they do around you that create turbulence and instability. That's what God did for the church. You saw all of that in Acts 8:1, Acts 9:1, all the turbulence, all the harassment. Now look at Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Let's read this from the Amplified. He says, so the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was edified, growing in wisdom, virtue, and piety, and walking in the respect and reverential fear of the Lord, and in the consolation and exhortation of the Holy Spirit. They continued to increase and they were multiplied. They continued to increase and they were multiplied. Hallelujah. The Lord dislodged the element, the instrument that Satan was using to harass them. You know how he did it? He arrested Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus. Say, why are you persecuting my people? The Lord is harassing every persecutor, every harasser, every destroyer, every distortioner around your life tonight in the name of Jesus. Everything that is creating unsettling in your destiny, everything that will not allow you to see your way clear so that you can have security, everything that is scattering as you are building, the Lord is dislodging them tonight. But you have a role to play. You have to engage the wisdom of God. Notice that the Bible says they had the peace of God and they were edified, growing in wisdom. Growing in wisdom. Growing in wisdom. It is your growth in wisdom that enables you to execute that dislodging of the harasser, of the persecutor, of the scatterer, of the divider, the destroyer. Sometimes some of the things that are creating obstacles and limitations to the destiny in the lives of God's people are really not necessarily human beings. They are just being inflamed by the activities of people around them. The enemy sowed the seed and is using people to water it. But with the wisdom of God, when you engage that wisdom, when you engage the spirit of wisdom in your life, when you take on, hallelujah, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place. I feel something happening in the spirit, through the airwaves, through the word of God that is going out tonight. I see something definite happening in the lives of God's people. The spirit of wisdom is rising up. The spirit of wisdom is coming alive in the lives of God's people and giving them the upper hand. Giving them the upper hand. Hallelujah. The Lord will execute that judgment, but then you and I, we must engage the spirit of wisdom so that which the Lord has done can remain permanent. Because there is no use in getting a breakthrough today, but you are coming back again tomorrow to deal with the same harasser. It is the wisdom of God that we engage that enables us to walk in the security of the favor of God. And that security is yours tonight by the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus. Where are we at? 51 minutes. Our time is almost gone tonight. Let's see, how far have we gone? How far have we gone? The Lord has helped us. The Lord has helped us. But we have ways to go. We have some ways to go. Let's see if we can do 2 more scriptures before we close tonight. Can we do that? 2 more scriptures? This one is a very, very familiar one because right through our initial studies at the beginning of the year, we read this scripture so many times, so many. We made it our prayer so many times. And you see what the Lord, you see what the Holy Spirit did through the wisdom of God for the early church. So it's not surprising that Paul, this same Paul that was the one Satan was using to harass the church, was the one that the Lord arrested supernaturally on the way to Damascus. It is not surprising that this same Paul is the one praying for the church in Ephesians chapter 1. He is the same one praying for the church. That's why that prayer is so powerful. See, it's one of his most powerful prayers that is actually expressed, that is documented in the Word of God. Line by line. It's so powerful. Let's read it again. We read it several times when we were studying Knowing God, More Dwelling in the Secret Place earlier in the year. But Ephesians, well, let's read it again. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Somebody hear me tonight. Somebody hear me tonight. Please, don't assume you have this all together. Please. Yes, I know that prayer. Yes, I've heard it before. Yes, I've heard these teachings before. Yes, I know I've heard many of these things. I wonder, please. There are many believers suffering in their lives today because of their failure to recognize these precepts from the Word of God and to engage them. Just knowing it in your head, in my head, is not good enough. We have to engage. We have to engage. So many believers in the church, you can't say, this is a person of wisdom. They don't have it. And it's not just biological age. Some of them are quite advanced in age, but they don't have wisdom. You see it in the way they talk. You see it in the things they do. You see it in how they carry themselves. They lack wisdom. They don't have the wisdom of God. And that failure is what opens up their lives to all the calamity and all the upheaval that Satan is trying to put in there. the failure to engage wisdom. Because, my friends, when we engage the wisdom of God, our lives totally change. It's not just talk. Like that scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, when you truly stand in the way and you ask for the ancient ways, the old ways, you say, where is the good way? And you find that good way of wisdom and you begin to walk in it, you will find rest for your soul. You find rest for your soul. He said, pray that you may have the spirit of wisdom. Notice, the first thing he asked for is the spirit of wisdom. Spirit that you may have. That's what he said. What verse is this? That the God, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now hold that. Go right back with me there to the Old Testament. I'm going to stop here and we'll pick this up from here next time, next week. Go to Isaiah 11. Go to Isaiah 11. Look at how the very first particular of the Spirit of God that was mentioned for the Messiah in this scripture is the Spirit of wisdom. You see there in Ephesians 1, verse 17, when he said, I pray for, and the very first thing he asked for, that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of. But first, the spirit of wisdom. Well, look at Isaiah 11 and look at verse 1. He said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. See, the very first one, the very first particular, the first aspect, the first manifestation of the Holy Spirit that Paul prayed for was the spirit of wisdom. The very first one that the prophet Isaiah tells us was manifested in the life of the Messiah is the spirit of wisdom. It underscores how powerfully glorious the spirit of wisdom is. I pray for you tonight as I pray for myself, pray for everyone that is here listening to this message in this service, that you will receive the spirit of wisdom. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. You will know that spirit of wisdom like you have never known it. You begin to walk in it like you've never walked in it. That wisdom will become, it will become your identity. That will become your MO. That's how you live. That's what people will see you. When they see you first, when they know you, that's a man of wisdom. That's a woman of wisdom. When they see what you are producing, when they see what God is doing, that's a person of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is living within them. That's my prayer for you. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for baptizing us afresh tonight with the spirit of wisdom. Thank you for this service. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for imparting life to us. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.